Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Hour number two on a Throwback Thursday. We are celebrating the birthday of the Basketball Hall of Fame that was opened in 1968 in Springfield, Massachusetts. But we got a lot coming up this hour. The good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up. Always good to have that one. And then Jeff Hammond is going to join us from Fox Sports as we talk some Daytona 500. The Great American Race is this weekend. If you don't know much about, you know, auto racing, but you know the basic format, at other events, the cars go out in qualifying laps, and then everybody, you know, goes around the track, and then that's how the order of the race will be on Sunday. But the Daytona 500 does it differently, you know, and has done it for a long time this way, where they will do qualifying on Wednesday. Kyle Larson won qualifying last night at Daytona. And then the second best driver is on the front row with the pole sitter. So in this case, it's Hendrick Motorsports that are going to lock up the front row, Kyle Larson and Alex Bowman. But the rest of the running order isn't going to be determined until tonight. They're going to run a pair of what they call dual races. They're like, I think, 150 miles long. And those results, how you finish in those races, are going to determine where you start in the Daytona 500. And then, of course, the race is on Sunday, so it kicks off the NASCAR season. It's the biggest race on the calendar. It just happens to be the first race on the calendar. They're coming off from an exhibition 2 weeks ago in Los Angeles at LA Coliseum, I should say. They built an asphalt track, a quarter mile asphalt track inside. And that was cool, but it's not Speed Week, and this week has been Speed Week. So Jeff Hammond is going to join us for that. I just saw the Anthony Davis just highlight again of the Anthony Davis injury, and my God, we talked about this in hour one. That poor guy, Ron, you said it best. He's Mr. Glass. That guy goes down and just lands and done, instantly done. And it's got to be frustrating for the Lakers, as I said earlier, to watch the faces, some of the faces on the players' expression of watching Anthony Davis go down. A little bit of frustration, you can see, a little bit of sadness, and a little bit of worry that, boy, this season that we're struggling, trying to get in the playoffs, to try to be relevant in the postseason, is falling apart because, once again, we get a guy back from injury, and now we lose him again. They say 2 weeks. We'll see about that. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next. We continue on a beautiful, beautiful Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time on a Throwback Thursday. Again, happy birthday, Basketball Hall of Fame, on this date in 1968. That's good. This is even better. It's the good of the day. What's the good of the day?
Well, it's the good of the day is something we talked about earlier this week. Remember when I had like 400 goods in one segment?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Just because it was like, oh, there's so much good happened that came from the Super Bowl. Well, it turns out that NFL Films also had the moment that Van Jefferson found out that his wife was not at the stadium anymore.
Oh, okay.
And it's really fun video because he's sitting there and he's hugging his kids and kind of, you know, he has that look like, you know, how'd you guys get down here?
Yeah, where's mom?
And then a PR lady came up to him and says, hey, you know, just let you know, you got to go. Your wife's in the hospital. She's giving labor right now.
Oh, my God.
And it's just this look of, it's a mixture of look. Like, God, the timing couldn't be worse with, hey, kids. And he has two younger kids, a daughter and a son. And just saying, it's like, we got to go to the hospital. But what I love most is the daughter's like, we don't have to leave right now, do we, Daddy?
Well, don't you remember?
I want to play in the confetti a little bit more.
But remember in the movie Goodfellas, where Karen, they get married, Henry Hill and Karen get married,
yeah,
and everybody's giving him money, and she's like, the money, and he goes, no one's stealing it here. Like, don't you think you could do that with your kids if you're Van Jefferson?
I would think so.
Like, you could go, you guys can stay. No one's kidnapping my children. Like, the Rams, I just tell the right people, and they're going to watch the kids while I go. We go have the baby, and then we'll somebody, like, you could get
But they look young. I know, but they look young. I mean,
do they?
Yeah, I
was thinking like we're 7 or 8 or whatever.
I would venture maybe the oldest is probably hovering around 5, 6.
Okay, but so, you could you could leave your kids there.
I think you could leave your kids there. Would wife get mad at you?
Probably. But here's the thing. If your wife is pregnant, really pregnant, and could go at any day now,
or is in labor, yeah,
doesn't show up. Where do you think she is?
That's true. Maybe to the bathroom.
Maybe.
Maybe she has.
But if your kids show up without her, don't you think like?
Maybe at that moment, you're absolutely right. Maybe at that moment, she had a hankering for pickles on top of ice cream.
Right.
Some weird food combo that. I guess it's just a rumor because I don't remember my wife ever having a weird food combo.
Yeah, I know, me either. So that's it. But that's a great day. That's a great day. Like, that's a tattoo day.
That is. You win a Super Bowl, you're getting a ring, and then, not only are you getting a ring, but, God, they got to find some way. I believe they had another boy. Got to find a way to incorporate. Maybe his nickname is Champ for the rest of his life. I don't know. Got to find a way to incorporate that, right?
Yeah, you have to. I think we talked about this. Put Super in his name somewhere, Champ in there somewhere. You've got to recognize that your son was born on the day you won the Super Bowl. That's got to be in his name somewhere, somehow. Call him Cooper Cup. Just call him Cooper Cup.
Why not?
Cooper Cup Jefferson. How about Cooper Matthew Jefferson? Does that better?
I think that works.
Matthew Cooper Jefferson?
Something like that.
How about that? Am I going too far?
maybe instead of, if he's like a junior or the third, maybe you go, it's like, I'm just going to add LVI at the end of it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's
maybe
that's
is Van it. Jefferson the 56th.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Well, it's all one thing. Tony, that we're going to incorporate into the bat of the day, right? There's a couple different storylines from yesterday's championship parade.
Okay.
That we have to. First, we're going to start off with the fact that Mayor Eric Garcetti of L.A. decided and, worked with the Hollywood people who are in charge of the Hollywood sign that they were going to change the sign. The iconic Hollywood sign that's up on the mountain to say Rams House, and that it was going to be there all week long. Well, they finally finished it late Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, just in time for the parade.
Oh, okay.
And because for the longest time it said Rallyous, RALLYOUSE.
Oh, God.
I'm not even sure what that means.
I don't either.
And when they did finish it, you got to see the photos, kids. Some of the letters are, you can't even read. You can't even read that it says Rams House. It's just like they slapped it together at the last second. Like, I just put it up there. We don't care. So you have that going for you. Then you have the fact that they did have a parade. And an hour before the parade, the streets were still empty. Now, by the end of the parade, by the time the bus is there, it looked like it was packed. Maybe they're just showing one portion of it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But I think the parade route was mostly empty.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Was anybody making fun of it on Twitter? I'm sure they were, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember when the Chicago Sky won the WNBA title, and that's all you saw. We're like, look, there's four people in this one screenshot cheering them on. I hope we gave the same treatment to the Rams on social media that
we did
with the Chicago WNBA team that won their championship.
Yes, but the one who's catching it the worst is your Rams quarterback, Matthew, I don't know his middle initial, Stafford.
Stafford, yeah.
So two things. One, which is kind of funny, Tom Brady did give him a little tip because every time you saw a video of Matt Stafford was him drinking out of a tequila bottle, him having a beer in his hand, him having a great time as one should. Tom Brady did offer the suggestion, hey, Matt, mix in a water.
Yeah, I agree. Mix in a water, yeah.
But that couldn't stop. That's not the worst of the situation. There was an NFL photographer who was taking a close-up photo of Matt Stafford who ended up falling off the stage. And in this video, she falls off the stage. Matt Stafford turns and walks away.
Oh, God!
Now, his wife, Kelly Stafford, goes to see she's okay. Now, the video cuts abruptly. So, I don't know, maybe he didn't see her fall, but he's kind of looking in that general direction. But he does have another drink in his hand. You know, maybe he was oblivious to the situation. I hope there's a longer version of the video or another angle that shows that he turned and ran back. Because it's not really a good look right now, especially when you find out that this photographer fractured her spine.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Is she going to be okay?
She's going to be okay. She's not paralyzed.
She's
not
or
paralyzed or anything like that. Probably going to have to wear a neck brace or a back brace. You know, she'd be out of work for a while. But, hey, you know what? NFL offseason. She's not working anyways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's true.
But it's not a good look. I mean,
wow.
You see her fall, he immediately turns around and walks away. As if it almost, you know, I mean, you know he didn't do it, but it was like he pushed her and walked away type of thing.
I can't be mad at Matt Stafford for the drinking. I would be.
Oh, I would be.
I would be hammered.
Well, did you hear Aaron Donald?
What did he say?
Aaron Donald over and over. Just to let you know, I may slurp my words a little bit.
Right?
But you know what? I'm celebrating. And this is going to continue all night long. I mean, he was just almost rambling drunk.
I'm sorry. I can't begin to tell you how, especially Stafford. Like, Aaron Donald, because he'd been with the organization when they were in St. Louis, he made the trip to the Rams. You know, he went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Okay. Stafford must be drinking because he's probably like, I'm waking up and I'm still in Detroit, right? Like I'm waking up and I'm going to play on a lousy Lions team. Like somebody, this is a dream, right? Like he's going to be like, I can't believe this. A year ago, I was like, what's going to happen to me? And now I'm celebrating a Super Bowl championship and everybody's talking about putting me in the Hall of Fame. Yes, please give me more alcohol. I'd love it. Good for him. I would do the same exact thing.
Oh, definitely.
I saw a video of him just dropping face first into a swimming pool. He's like, I'm just living my best life. Good for you. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I don't know if this is dumb. I just didn't know where to put this. All right? And it's I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. It's one of those where I'm going to have a disclaimer saying I will take it away if it works out. Right?
Right.
But Disney is getting into yet another business venture. They're now going to start having planned neighborhoods.
Yeah, I saw this. They're kind of putting together neighborhoods in, like, I think in Palm Springs.
Yeah, and if it works, you know, it'll probably, you know, they'll try to find a way to do it in all, like, everywhere.
And then you're supposed to be part of a story.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you something. I'll give you a little bit of history here. They have something like this in Florida. It's called Celebration Florida. It's a town that they built. They wanted to run. I'm not saying it didn't work out, but it wasn't what they originally thought. It's a city right outside of Disney World. Right. Disney World is a large property. It's huge. It's the size of like San Francisco, and a lot of it is still undeveloped. So they took a part of it below the highway. And they built a city, and they built houses and downtown Main Street and ice cream shops and all the things that you kind of – and everybody jumped to it. It was like in the early 90s. They jumped to it. And they were going to run the whole town. And you had to – everything had to be manicured perfectly and everything – you know, you own a house there, you kind of – it's one of the strictest HOAs you're ever going to be a part of. But the joy of it was that Disney World was basically across the street. It was like down the street. I know a friend of mine from high school. She just moved there a couple of years ago, and she's always posting her kids at the theme park and in the town. But it had a lot of problems. Like they don't fix things. There was some crime. They don't exactly keep it safe. There was a lot of issues that the town had, and I think people came to the determination that I love the parks and I love the company. I don't need it 24/7. Right? I don't need that kind of thing 24/7. I wonder if this is going to be the same thing. Like, in the end, it's like, yeah, but you know what?
Yeah. Well, all I can think about is,
Mickey and Donald and all that stuff, but when my plumbing goes, you better, like, when the sewage is backing up, you better be able to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, you know, I mean, having cast members, I guess, you know, being your concierge in these neighborhoods or, you know, running things, you know, I mean, it'd be pretty, I guess, to drive through. But, yeah, you know, if something goes wrong in your house, you,
right,
you, you know, can you call an outside person or do you have to use one of their maintenance guys? And, but I'm also curious, too, like, all right, you know, if they're trying to detail, like, a story, are they handpicking stories? Like, are you going to live, like, in a neighborhood where, you know, it's kind of Peter Pan themed?
Yeah, do I have to attend? Is it like, all right, don't forget, tomorrow night we're doing... You know, like
yeah,
you know,
the, at like, the community park beneath the pirate ship, we're going to be watching Peter Pan.
That's right. And you better be there. Can we take attendance here in this neighborhood run by us? It's very Twilight Zone-ish.
Yeah.
To me. It's a little spooky.
That's why I you know, if it works out and it seems awesome, that's why I'm slapping the disclaimer on it that I remove it from the dumb and say, you know, maybe it's better than I thought. But I really don't know.
They're clearly, really, clearly going after the rich. They're really tapping in, you know, I mean, to America's wealth.
It's no surprise that any business wants to do this, but Disney Disney itself makes it a point to go after all the money.
That's very true.
That's very true.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Jeff Hammond is going to join us to talk Daytona 500. That is coming up. Coming up next, a little cool story from the Daytona 500. We'll have that as well. And also, we got to get to the U.S. women losing last night to Canada in the gold medal game at the Olympics. I got a thought on that as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, again, this is 1968 on a Throwback Thursday, opening of the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Before we get to the NFC East, we're going to go to the NFC North, giving our grades. We did the NFC East in hour number one. We'll do the other two in the next hour. Jeff Hammond is coming up in 10 minutes. Real quick, I want to give props to Jacques Villeneuve, who qualified for the Daytona 500. He is an Indy 500 champion. He's a former Formula One champion. And he is, at 50 years old, he has qualified for the Daytona 500. But I got a quick story about Jacques Villeneuve for you. Ready, Ron? Because I know you love my stories.
I do.
All right. So when I was in New Hampshire, I was working at a radio station. And we used to do these at restaurants. We used to do these remotes, these special racing shows for the big event that was going on at New Hampshire International Speedway. And Jacques Villeneuve was driving in the IndyCar series before he went off to over to Europe to race in Formula One. And he was very young, young guy. And he was the son of a race car driver. So he was kind of famous and he was Canadian. And he was, you know, a good looking young kid who was a race car driver. Anyway, we had him booked to come on the radio show and we promoted it, but then he canceled. But he canceled in enough time that we kind of pulled it. You know, we changed the promo on the radio and things like that. It was like he canceled like with like two days out. But he was going to be there. So I was there. My boss was hosting the show, and I was kind of offering, you know, information. But I was there like engineering it and then doing some crowd stuff and promotions. And in this restaurant walked in one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen. Now, she clearly was not from New Hampshire. She, you know how area has a certain look? Like, she looked like she was New York model, L.A. model, maybe European, whatever. She dressed differently than anybody else in New Hampshire. And she looked different. She walks into the restaurant, just drop-dead gorgeous. Everybody's eyes on her. She sees me in my WGIR shirt. She walks up to me and she goes, "Is Jacques Villeneuve going to be here tonight?" And I said, actually, no, he canceled. She doesn't say a word and she just turns around and walks right out of the restaurant. And that's the only memory I have of every time I see Jacques Villeneuve, every time I've seen him win a Formula One championship, win the Indy 500. Last night, 50 years old, he actually played guitar in one video. Every time I've seen him in the news, I go, I wonder if she ever ran in to Jacques Villeneuve. I don't know what it was for. Maybe it was a lover's quarrel. Maybe she just wanted to meet him to have a drink. Maybe she just wanted to meet him so she could get to know him. Maybe she was trying to kill him. I have no idea. But all I remember is one of the best looking women I've ever seen in my life came in, went right to me, asked me where he if he was coming, and then left, like she was on a mission to find him. But I don't know the backstory. So that's my story about Jacques Villeneuve. There you go. Enjoyed it?
Processing it.
Processing.
I'm wondering if you went back into a time machine and started it all over.
Yeah.
And you went and said, why, yes. Yes, he is coming in tonight. Why don't you just sit here next to me?
Yeah, like I should have done that. Yeah, I should have said, well, we are expecting him at some point.
Stay close. I will introduce you.
I'll make sure you get up. Yeah. Instead, I went, no. Yeah. Knowing she would leave.
Yeah.
Like she's coming in specifically to see him. And then I have no idea if she ran into him or not. All right, so let's start our grades for the NFC North. This should be kind of easy. The Green Bay Packers win 13-4. They won the number one seed in the NFC. And I'm going to give them an A. They did bomb in the playoffs. That was a bad loss. In the snow at Lambeau, you should beat every team that comes there. But they lost. Their special teams was horrific.
Especially when it's a West Coast team.
Especially when it's a West Coast team. But here's why they're getting an A. Because they got Aaron Rodgers. The organization who didn't have to trade him and didn't. And they got Aaron Rodgers to come back and play. And he was the MVP and they were the number one seed. Yes, they fell short. But as a member of the organization was a mess, he was a mess. I give him an A.
All right, I'm going B+.
B+. That loss?
And the reason, no, I mean, the loss, sure. I don't feel Aaron Rodgers was the MVP this season.
I thought it was Tom Brady.
Or
Cooper Kupp.
Or Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's, you know, it's like the safe bet type of thing.
Right.
And really, I was like, I'm kind of getting burnt out on the Packers shtick.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that.
You know,
that makes sense. Yeah.
With the whole Aaron Rodgers situation, I'm at the point now. I was like, Aaron, I don't care. You know where you play next year.
Yeah,
I really don't care.
I don't. Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, well, sure. You know, when it happens, we're going to talk about it. We'll probably talk about it for 3 hours straight.
I especially don't care who his girlfriend is and what that means
ex.
Now that they've broken up.
Ex girlfriend.
You know what I mean? Like, now that his ex-girlfriend is gone, now what does that mean for his future? Like,
I don't care.
Like, I don't care. I'm not dissecting it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So you're giving him what?
I'm giving him a B+ just because B+? I'm tired of him.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. The Chicago Bears. The Bears get a D. I'm not giving him an F, but I'm going to give him a D. This is not Justin Fields' fault, but Matt Nagy just had no idea how to manage this. He had no idea how this works. Andy Dalton was the quarterback until he wasn't the quarterback.
Until he got hurt,
and then Dalton came back. But I just felt like the whole year was all about that, and their just inability to – they were competitive at times, and then they were absolute garbage. I'm not giving him an F. They did win 6 games, and you know, but it's a D because I always felt they were in the news for the wrong reasons.
No, I'm with you. It's like a D+, C- range. I'm almost giving them that little bump up in the grade because Dick Butkus on Twitter has been kind of nice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's kind of making me feel better about the Bears.
Minnesota Vikings. Now, I'm going to give them a D, too, even though they won 2 more games. Again, I felt like, what were they last year?
I'm going to do you one better.
Yeah.
I'm giving them an incomplete.
Incomplete. Maybe that's a good answer.
Because I still don't know anything about the Vikings.
Every year we do previews, and every year – they tell me this team is good.
Yeah.
Everybody we talk to, and it doesn't have to be the Minnesota people too, they tell me they're good. And then I go, then why aren't they? Like am I missing? Like, I'm almost afraid to ask because I'm afraid I'm missing the obvious that everybody knows. Like, I don't want to be the emperor has no clothes kid, but when everybody tells me Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, defense, offensive line, okay, but why aren't they good? Like, I'll raise my hand and go, no.
Man, incomplete because they're just that team up there. They're the purple team up there. I don't know anything about them.
Real quick, we might expand on this a little bit. The Lions, I'm giving them a C. They played hard for a team that was beat, that wasn't supposed to do anything.
I was giving them a B-.
Come on, Dan Campbell, yeah. I should give them a C+.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 3-13-1. Tied the Steelers.
They tried.
They did try. Jeff Hammond next.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, we got a little Simon and Garfunkel for you. 1968 is our Throwback Thursday year. The Basketball Hall of Fame opened on this date in 1968. So we've got some good music today. The Daytona 500 is going to be this weekend. It's going to kick off the NASCAR season, the next-gen cars. It's the Super Bowl of the sport. It's always interesting. Every year, it's the same thing. As more and more new people come to the sport, it's always interesting to see, you know, oh, gosh, the biggest event kicks off the season, and that's the Daytona 500. Michael McDowell is the defending champion of the 500. We're getting ready to hook up with Jeff Hammond of Fox Sports to get his thoughts on this season and this race and what to watch for, which cars as drivers have changed teams. We'll get a pretty good look at that. I did want to comment real quick on the U.S. women's hockey team. They lost to Canada last night in the gold medal game by a score of 3-2. It's becoming a very, very good rivalry. Unfortunately, it was on really late because of the Olympics. These events tend to be better watching it live than on tape delay. It's one of those events that if you follow sports, it's going to be hard not to know who won and try to wait for the game to be re-aired. If you were just into it, you could stay up and watch it. But I remember a number of years ago, it was in Sochi, 2014. The United States lost to Canada in the gold medal game. They won in 2000. The U.S. won in 2018, but Canada has kind of won the last, I think, three out of the last four. But the great Mike Emmerich had one of the best descriptive calls of the ceremony, the medal ceremony, because the U.S. had a lead, lost the lead. It was really a heartbreaking loss in Sochi in 2014. And as the medals were being put, the silver medals were being put on the United States players, Mike Emmerich described the silver medal and described it and then talked about its weight. And then, you know, he said it weighs blah, 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 certain ounces. And then he just paused and he goes, but it weighs a lot more. It was a really great moment because it was really heartbreaking for Team USA to lose that hockey game. But it is becoming a very, very good rivalry. And there was a lot of hope that the United States could win last night. But Canada got out to a 3-0 lead, and it's literally insurmountable. The United States outshot them in the group matchup, but still lost. Canada was that good. And so the U.S. was on the downside of that one. So, again, the Daytona 500 coming up this weekend. It's funny because we look at these other sports and I might ask Jeff about this if we can get him on, about the relationship that we see with the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, that are starting to gravitate towards some of the betting sportsbook sites. And I wonder if NASCAR has done that. It's not the easiest sport to bet on because, you know, look, if you had Odell Beckham, for example, in a prop bet and you watched him go down to an injury, that kind of ruins your prop bet. If you have Denny Hamlin, who's like a favorite to win the Daytona 500, I think he's at 8-1 odds. The 500, and especially the super speedway races, you can get the big one. And when the big one happens, it can really mess up your driver. It's not, you know, team A playing team B. You could be doing really, really well and run into a driver that has made a mistake. And next thing you know, your afternoon is over. I remember we had Jeff Hammond on a year ago because it was the 20th anniversary of the death of Dale Earnhardt. And I don't want to say it's my favorite, one of my favorite interviews. I don't want to say that without, you know, putting the serious emphasis on the interview. But one of the reasons I enjoyed that conversation so much was because I really, really wanted to honor that moment, particularly in the Daytona 500, and honor the memory of Dale Earnhardt Jr. And I thought Jeff Hammond did it so well last year. We bring him back this year to preview this Daytona 500 on our Progressive Guest Line. How are you, Jeff?
Good morning. I hope you are having a great day down there in the great state of Texas. And, man, I'm good to hear from you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the next-gen car for those who are wondering what that means for the series. What is it, and how has it gone so far in that exhibition in L.A.?
The best way to describe the new next-gen car is revolutionary. I mean, it is, from stem to stern, a totally redone NASCAR stock car. And what I mean by that, independent suspension. We've got, you know, sequential transmission without a third member, which means we don't have like a rear gear like you see in a normal car of the old style. Readily designed and newly designed underbodied, where we're all of a sudden using aerodynamics to help keep the car on the racetrack more aggressively than ever before. We also are instituting, believe it or not, in the rearview mirror, camera systems so that they can see, you know, cars behind them better because of the spoiler and where everything is on a car, a little more of the modern technology that you're used to by today's standards. So there's so much stuff in this race car. It's almost scary to try to say that it is anything at all as far as what we've been running for the last, I don't know, 75 years.
Before we get to the race, real quick, was this a move by Nat? Was it a safety reason that they made the change just to make the change? Was it to promote closer racing? What's the idea behind going to that level of car?
The need to break away from what we used to be. Again, we're racing. We've been racing chassis that were basically designed in the late 50s, early 60s. And that technology is not conducive to what our manufacturers are selling on their car lots. So we want to get more closer to what the manufacturers, Toyota, Chevrolet, Ford, are doing to be able to be a part of the sport and be able to sell cars. And we're also looking for a possibility of enticing a BMW or a Honda or some other manufacturer that would like to be involved in NASCAR racing. We've got to get technology that they're used to seeing and racing with in other forms of racing. I mean, this is really a big move on NASCAR's part to introduce technology that a lot of people can, you know, relate to that we couldn't before. I mean, we, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were using on our old race cars from a year ago did not compute in a lot of people's minds. Now we can. And that's something I think is very important, that we keep moving this bar more in the direction of the rest of the world.
Just from a technological standpoint, I find this fascinating, Jeff, and I think this is incredible. When you look at an Indy car, when you look at a Formula One car, and I get it, they're two different styles, but there is more driver buttons, there's more technology. It's like rocket ships on wheels. Could NASCAR, in its own way, not quite the same as open wheel cars, could it in their own way have that level of technology where the drivers are changing biases on their wheel, changing all sorts of settings, a different button for different sort of things? Are we getting to that level?
Well, we're headed in that direction. We're not there yet, and I'm not sure we'll ever go quite that far because of the cost.
Yeah.
I mean, this race car costs a lot of money, but at the same time, it's been built to where the car you race in Daytona this weekend, in 2 weeks, you could have it in California and race
it. Got it. Okay.
And that's the idea. We want to make it, where they're a little more pricey, but at the same time, they can do more with less cars. Instead of having a fleet of 12 or 15 cars for each team, we're talking about 5 to 7.
All right, so let's get to the – oh, go ahead.
But no, I was going to say, it's just a big effort, a big undertaking for everybody, owners and NASCAR, to attempt to redefine our business model and to give us more of a connection with modern technology.
Sounds good. Jeff Hammond joining us from Fox Sports on the Daytona 500, which will be on Sunday. You got the dual races coming up tonight, qualifying yesterday with Kyle Larson and Alex Bowman on the front row. From a standpoint of a preview, is it the usual suspects here, or are there some names that are in new teams, new places, that could be a threat on Sunday?
There are some people right now that you're going to have to kind of keep your eye on that people may not be really aware of. I mean, number one, and it has to be Harrison Burton driving for the Wood Brothers. I mean, his father, Jeff Burton, you've seen him on television. You've seen him in Victory Lane. Harrison is a very talented, driver, and currently he's getting ready to start his qualifying race in the fifth position driving for the Wood Brothers. And everybody that maybe doesn't know this, they have an unbelievably great record when it comes to winning Daytona 500. So they give kids – you know, like Trevor Bayne won the last time for the Wood Brothers at Daytona, and he was basically an unknown at that time. So that's one guy I think you got to keep your eye on when you talk about young talent coming in. But we've also got, you know, some people that are turning heads further in the field, especially like in this duel number two. You go all the way down to the bottom of the page, but here's a guy that has been an Indy champion and a Formula One champion, Jacques Villeneuve. He qualified on time. I mean, he's locked into the 500 already, but he'll be racing in the 150s tonight, trying to get his feet wet and get a little bit more acclimated to drafting and what it's like to run at Daytona in basically a swarm of bees is the way I look at it tonight, because everybody will be taking care of their equipment as much as they can. But he's one of those guys that's going to be having an opportunity to get a great education that's going to help him when they drop the green flag on Sunday. But also in this same race, like a veteran, Greg Biffle, he hadn't been in a stock car since, I think, 2016, and he's trying to make the Daytona 500, and he's starting back 19th. But it's going to be – tonight is going to be a defining moment in our history as far as Daytona is concerned, is what kind of show can we put on tonight. You mentioned L.A. I think they had an exceptional race by my standard, because what I was looking at was and expecting was a crash fest. We didn't have that. We had some crashes, but we had some pushing and shoving. But what I was looking for, would this new car allow us to improve racing? And I think it did exactly what they expected it to do. The brakes helped them get in the corner better and carry good speed into the corner. The car itself rotated. We had a minimal amount of failures as far as any kind of transmissions or wiring or anything like that with a brand new race car. You know, we had some mechanical issues. But overall, I think it was a success from the standpoint of we proved that we can race on a quarter-mile racetrack with big race cars. And I think that's part of that beginning of a test as we move to the future with this new Gen 6 car. I mean,
what's the strategic element tonight? If you're a driver, you're trying to get up, you're trying to win, you're trying to move up into the field. Do you gamble late if it could mean some trouble? Like, how careful do you have to be to make sure your car is available on Sunday, and yet you want to be competitive on Thursday night?
I think we're going to watch one of the most challenging 150s ever. And I mean this in a totally different light, not just, you know, the drama and the need to, you know, win or the desire to win. All of these teams do not have a lot of race cars. So that, as I said earlier, the only thing that's been kind of a negative this off season is the supply chain to be able to get enough backup cars. To that point, you can't afford to go out here and race aggressively and really get after it, because you don't have three cars sitting back at the shop that you can run get if you tear one up tonight.
Yeah.
So these guys are going to race hard, and I think any mistakes that are made are going to be purely accidental, not because they're being aggressive or not because they feel like, you know, they got to prove a point. It's because they've got to take care of this automobile like never before. So I look for both of these races to be clean, but yet you're going to have to worry about guys like Greg Biffle, like David Ragan, who are trying to get into this race. They may make a decision to make a run on somebody, or, you know, try to throw a block on somebody that normally they wouldn't, to try to secure a position. You got to realize there's only going to be two guys that are going to qualify out of these qualifying races tonight. First one in duel one, other one duel two, to make the 500. Everybody else is locked in. So there's two slots available. Four drivers going for it.
That's awesome. Jeff Hammond, one real quick question. We've seen in sports the importance of an event diminish. It also goes great depending on circumstance, depending on the year. Daytona 500, this is the premier stock car event in this country. This is the Super Bowl of the sport. In 2022, does it still carry that level of importance? Is it more important than ever? Is it less important than ever as the NASCAR season has gone to different places?
Okay, I'm gonna put it to you like this. Coming off the football season, L.A. was a playoff game. Now you're going to run your Super Bowl on Sunday. It's going to be a winner-take-all situation. These guys, when they drop the green flag on Sunday, it will be a totally different race than what we're going to witness tonight, getting kind of tuned up for this thing.
Right.
The 500 will be a hard-fought battle, and the key element is the fact being the first guy to win a major, I'm talking about a major race in NASCAR in this new car. You know, that will be something that will be a separate page in the history books of NASCAR.
Fascinating.
And you want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good.
Jeff, love talking to you every year about this, and I really appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
Love hearing from you guys, and again, thank you for being a supporter of our sport. And maybe one of these days I'll get a chance to run across you down in Texas, and we'll, you know, grab a hamburger.
Love to see you, man. Love to see it. All right, Jeff Hammond, Fox Sports from Daytona, as they get the duels tonight and, of course, the 500 coming up on Sunday. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I went a little long with Jeff Hammond, but we were late getting to him, so I wanted to get that interview in. Coming up next hour, Ryan Ballengee is going to join us. We'll talk about the Saudi Golf League, and we'll go over the NFC South and West next.